I want to leave with you today Genesis chapter 15 and the verse 1. Genesis chapter 15 and the verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram was a man that God appeared to on very many occasions. In fact, this is the fourth such occasions, or even occasions after this, but this is the fourth occasion where the Lord has appeared unto Abram and had a special word for him. He appeared unto him before he came into the land of Canaan. He appeared unto him on his arrival in the land of Canaan, and there was a word to him from God whenever he separated from Lot. And now this is the fourth occasion after those events in chapter 14. And this chapter 15, the Lord appears to him, and all of this chapter is really a record of that appearance. But our interest today is in the introductory verse only, verse 1. And there, the thing about this verse is there are many firsts in it. There are many things that occur in it for the first time. For example, it's the first time we read that expression, the word of the Lord. That's very common in the Old Testament. The word of the Lord came unto the prophets. It's usually a sign that a man's a prophet when the word of the Lord comes to him. And this happens now for the first time to Abram. He's a prophet, you see, and the word of the Lord comes to him. So that's the first time we meet this expression, the word of the Lord. And then it's the first I am of God, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. It's the first I am. It's the first time where there's a vision, where the vision occurs. It's the first time where the word shield is used. And it's the first time where the word reward is used. So it's a pretty significant verse. There's a lot of firsts, a lot of new things in it. Now, it's obvious from what God says to Abram that he's afraid. He's afraid. Whatever his fears are, he has fear. Because God doesn't come along and say this for no reason. He knows Abram's heart. The Lord knows whenever we're afraid, because he knows the hearts of all men, but he especially knows the hearts of his people. And whenever these people are afraid, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. The Lord knows if you're afraid this morning. The Lord knows if you have a fear. Maybe that describes you this morning. Maybe you're in the very midst of fears. Maybe you've received some bad news and you're afraid. Maybe there's an uncertainty about your future. You're afraid. You don't know the way things are going. You're afraid. There could be other reasons for fear. Maybe you're in that very situation this morning, being afraid. So the Lord knows. The Lord knows that we have our fears. This is Abram. Now, Abram was a mighty saint and a mighty man of God, and the friend of God. And God, as I said, had made several appearances to him already. So God is his friend. So he's a great saint. He's had great experience in the things of God. And even he can be afraid. Doesn't matter how strong you are in the things of God. Doesn't matter how great your experience in the Christian path has been in the years that are past. That doesn't mean that you're free from fears. Here's a great saint of God, and he has fears. Abram is an example of a strong saint having strong fears. So it's possible to be a strong saint and still have fears. And that's the case here it is with Abraham. So all of God's people have their fears. Now, what are Abram's fears? Can we surmise from this verse and from the context what Abram is afraid of? I think we can. It says there in verse 1 at the start, it says, after these things. And that brings us, connects us with chapter 14. After these things, the Lord had to come to Abram and said, don't be afraid. So there were things that happened in chapter 14 that now Abram is in his tent and he's reflecting on them, and he's filled with fear, trepidation. And so his fear seems to be in relation to those events in chapter 14. We didn't read all of chapter 14, but the story is that Chedorlaomer, a man who came from the north, traveled down through Israel. He took the goods out of Sodom and Gomorrah and captured the captives, had a lot of battles and took a lot of things out of Israel. And Abram, because Lot was captured, Abraham has gone in pursuit of this king to retake Lot and his family and to bring them back again to the land of Canaan. So that's the story. He's done that. He reached as far as near Damascus. He fought Chedorlaomer, had a mighty victory, and he's brought Lot home, so on and so forth. And now he's sitting in his tent, and he's afraid. Now, what is he afraid of? Well, perhaps he's afraid of that king coming back with an even greater host to take revenge. After all, he suffered a great humiliation. And now perhaps Abram is sitting back and he's reflecting on that, and he's thinking about the repercussions. And that sometimes happens to us. We do something that's good, we do something that's right, and then after that, when we sit there and say, oh, I'm going to suffer for this. There's going to be repercussions for this. We got the courage to do it at the time. The Lord moved us to do it at the time. But whenever we're sitting in our house and reflecting on it, we can sort of say, oh, now I'm going to suffer for doing that. And maybe Abram's been like that. He's done right. And he done courageously and bravely. But now as he reflects after it all, fear is filling his heart at the possible repercussions of it. So that may have been one thing, I think, that is filling his heart. Maybe that's why the Lord says, I'm your shield. But we'll come to that in a moment. But then another reason perhaps relates to the fact that he's childless. And the thing about it is, God has promised him a child. And he's getting old, he's getting older. He's sitting in a situation where this king may come back and kill him, and he's still childless. And this is what this chapter is about. Whenever the Lord appears, and that's the first thing he says to the Lord, Lord, I'm childless. So it seems to be on his mind and on his heart. We know that it is. He's afraid. He's afraid of dying without this promise being fulfilled of a child. He's terrified of that. But he has this comforting revelation in his fears. So it's well timed. It's a word in season. The Lord always knows when to give a word in season. The Lord didn't come every day to Abram like this. Abram didn't wake up every morning and have the word of the Lord appearing to him and giving him this revelation. It didn't happen every day. But there were times when he needed it. And the Lord knows when we need a word. Yes, we have our devotions, we get comfort from the word. But there are times when we need a special word. And the Lord knows when to give a word in season. And that's what Abram's getting this morning, a word in season. And I trust maybe it'll be a word in season to some of you here. So what I want to call my sermon then, three reasons why Abram should not fear. Three reasons why you shouldn't be afraid. The first reason is because God commands it. Fear not, Abram. That's a command. And all the commands of God are to be obeyed. The child of God ought not to be a slave of fears. He should only fear the Lord. That's all he should fear. He should just fear the Lord. He should not be in bondage to other fears. Because God is his God. He should trust God. He shouldn't be afraid. And being afraid of anything apart from the Lord is wrong. And God is coming to him and said, Abram, don't be afraid. It's a command. It's an imperative. It's a sign of a lack of trust. It's unbelief. It's dishonoring to me. Don't fear. So let us not think that fear is somehow a virtue. It's not a virtue at all. It's a handicap. It's a hindrance. It's dishonoring to the Lord. Now, it's natural for us fallen creatures, I know. I know that. And I can say it's wrong to fear, and we'll still do it. But it's like any sin in our lives, isn't it? So I don't want you to think of something that is virtuous. God says, don't be afraid. Of course, God doesn't just only command that, as we say. He will relieve our fears. But even apart from that, his bare command ought to be enough. The Lord comes and says, don't fear, don't fret, don't fret. So this shows us that God, not only does God see our fears, but it also shows us that he doesn't want us to be in bondage to our fears. He doesn't want us to be enslaved to them. He doesn't want us to be controlled by them. He is a God who cares about our fears, who wants to deal with them. And one of the ways that he deals with them is he just comes with a commandment, I'm your God, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Now, God isn't just cold and indifferent. He really cares about this matter. He really wants to deal with this matter of your fear. He's not indifferent. He comes. And he puts his hand on the very problem. He said, don't be afraid. Because he's good. Don't we read this expression, fear not, so often in the Bible? Now, I know there's a tale goes around that says it's 365 times in the Bible that says fear not. One for every day of the year. But I don't think that's quite right. I can't find as many as 365. You might have to take other words and possibly you could get that near enough. But anyway, it says it quite a bit. And God says it quite a bit. Don't be afraid. So fear's common. And God commonly has to deal with it in his people. And he does. Because he's a God of all comfort. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is the God that comforteth those that are cast down. That's just the nature of God, to want to come alongside and say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid. God doesn't fill us with fears. It's the devil that wants us to be afraid. It's the devil that fills us with fear. It's the devil that is the father of bondage and slavery. It's the devil that does that. It's the devil who has the devices to ensure that in people. He brings those snares whereby they're led captive to their fears. And God comes and says, don't be afraid. And you read this so often in the Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ often said it as well to his disciples. Just to give you one example, in Matthew chapter 17, you remember the transfiguration. How that they were afraid, it says, at hearing the voice of God and the cloud. And they were afraid, it says, they fell on their faces and were sure afraid. And Jesus came and touched them because they were probably bowed over and their heads bowed. They were just terrified and couldn't look up. And Jesus came and he touched them and he said, arise, be not afraid, be not afraid. So it's common. And the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the last book of the Revelation, John, who had been with Christ, he'd seen a glorious vision of Christ, and he was afraid. And the Lord had to say, fear not, even the Apostle John, fear not. It's common then for the Lord to say that. And I want you to hear that this morning, troubled saint, fear not. It's a very personal command. Because you will notice that the Lord speaks his name. Fear not, Abram. Isn't that nice? It's nice when someone speaks your name. And the Lord, he's high and lofty, but he's not too high and lofty to condescend and to speak a child of God's name. He knows his sheep by name, and he calls them by name. And he speaks their name because he's gentle. He's gentle. And he's kind. And he's tender. And so this speaking Abram's name is comforting. Oh, the Lord spoke my name. Sometimes that's all you have to hear. The Lord speak your name. Do you remember how he said Mary? That was the only word he said. Mary was terrified. Oh, she was broken hearted. What's happened to the body of the Lord? They've taken away his body. She was filled with fears. And the Lord just said, Mary. Wasn't that nice? But the Lord is nice, isn't he? That's just the way he is. So he's kind and he's gentle and he's compassionate and he wants to get to the heart. He says, Abram, don't be afraid. It also bespeaks intimacy. There's intimacy. Like friend to friend and face to face. Oh, the Lord's such a good friend. And He's so kind. And He does call us by name. And He calls us personally this morning. So, it's a personal command. And your name's not in the text. That's true. But He said, fear not so many times to His people. His people shouldn't fear. Your name's in it. Your name's there. So don't be afraid. That's a command now. It's a command from God. Don't be afraid. Fear not. So that's the first reason why we shouldn't fear. But then the Lord gives another reason. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. Now, so there's another reason not to fear. Abram, don't fear because God is a shield against all that might harm you. Now, fear is removed by faith in God. And faith in God is encouraged by the divine promises. And that's why God comes here with promises to Abram that his faith might have something to hang on, and then his fear would go. So we need faith, but faith needs a promise from God. There's no faith without a promise. You can say, I believe all I like. I feel like I believe. That doesn't matter how you feel. You need a promise. Because faith has to hook on. It's not about what you feel. Faith has to have a hook to hang on. And that hook's a promise. And here God gives a hook. Now you have to hook on to this, Abram. I'm your shield. Now don't be afraid. Now, many of our fears arise from the things that threaten us. Anything that causes a threat to us, we usually fear. It may be a threat to our physical well-being. It may be a threat to our spiritual well-being. But it's causing a threat to us, causing a danger to us. It's going to hurt us. Maybe it's a cancer and it's going to cause pain. And oh, we don't like pain. We know we're going to hurt them. We're afraid of that. That's just a simple example. But something that threatens us, something that we think is going to hurt us or endanger us, we fear that. And that's exactly the case of Abram. Now, he was courageous, we know, but he still has his fears. He feared physical violence from the vengeance of Chedorlaomer and his allies. Perhaps there's also some danger from the malicious envy of his neighbours because he's been so successful and he's gathered up so many riches and he's prospered. And maybe there's envy of all the people round about him, all the other tribes. Maybe he feels threatened by that and he's afraid. He's dwelling in the midst of the Canaanites, you remember still. So he's feeling threatened. He's fearing being robbed or assassination. Whatever. But the point is, I am thy shield. That really deals with all of those problems, doesn't it? The Lord's our shield. Nothing can hit us outside as well. He's our shield. That deals with every possibility. That removes all ground of fear. A shield. Now, Abram has been in a warfare against Chedorlaomer. He probably seen shields being used. He's probably seen shields saving the lives of some of his servants. Maybe even a shield saved his own life at one time when he was fighting in that warfare in the north. So he knows all about what a shield is and what a shield does. It protects you. It covers your defenseless head. It will take the arrows and the spears and the stones from the slings. The shield will take it. And you'll be preserved. And so he knows well what a shield is. The harm falls on the shield. It suffers all the dents and all the blows. And this promise to be Abram's shield is staggering. It's a staggering thought that because he doesn't say, I provide a shield. He doesn't say, I'll give you a shield. He says, I'll be the shield myself. That's what he says. I'll be your shield. That's staggering. So whenever God says, whenever the arrows come,
I'll stand in front of them and take them. And whenever that attack from the devil comes, I'll stand in front and I'll take it. And whenever that attack on your character or whatever, that I'll stand in front and I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll be your shield. To me, this is utterly staggering. It implies the divine protection by the divine being himself. I'll be around you, I'll surround you. And of course, we have this idea in all the scriptures, because we're not just protected, we're in the Lord's hand. We're in his hand. And no man will pluck you out of my hand. I'm your shield. I mean, this is the theology of all of the scriptures.
He that touches you touches the apple of my eye. That's amazing, isn't it?
Remember whenever the Lord appeared to Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, as it was at that time, how that the Lord Jesus said,
"Why do you persecute me? You? I just brought Christians to jail. I just saw that Stephen was stoned. You? Yes. Why do you persecute me? Because those stones that hit Stephen hit me.
For whatever you have done to one of the least of these, my sins, you've done it to me." That's how close the Lord is to his people. You don't be afraid. If someone harms you, you're harming God. Let God deal with it. Why should you be afraid? Let God deal with it. He's your shield. He bore the dent and all the hurt. So let's think this, how staggering thing this is. And the Lord sees it, says this all the time. I know this is the first mention of this idea of God being a shield, but it occurs very, very frequently in the scriptures. For example, early on in the Psalms, the third Psalm, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." There's the very same thing. Lord, you give a nice shield. It's really strong. No. "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." You're my shield. Where does he get this theology? He gets it from Genesis 15, verse 1. That's where he gets it. The psalmist knows his Bible. "Thou art my shield." And then in another psalm, Psalm 28, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped." And then Psalm, just giving you some examples here, Psalm 35, the Psalms are full of this. But Psalm 35, we read again, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help." So that's the Lord again, being our shield and our buckler. And really, that's what happened in Genesis chapter 14. How did this man who had, 300 odd slaves, and he goes up the north and he defeats this conquering army that had conquered all the different tribes round about Abram, how was Abram able to do that at all? The Lord was his shield. He was his shield. That's how. And so he's already had an example of this. But he's not only Abram's shield. And this is what I really want to get home. I know Abram's name is here. He says, "I am thy shield." But I don't want you to think that excludes any of the people of God, because the Bible says, "He is a shield unto all them that trust in him." And that includes you, if you just trust him. And so have you made him your shield? And you poor sinner, who don't want Jesus Christ, what are you going to do? You have no shield. Whenever the devil comes around your deathbed, the foul spirits will just grab you and bring you to hell. No shield. No shield. Oh, what will become you who have no Christ? You need Christ. And having him, you have so many things, but you have a shield. I am my shield. So don't be afraid. And we could elaborate on that and say what the Lord shields us from, but I think I've said enough. The third reason, the third cause why we shouldn't fear, is because God is a great reward
for whatever sacrifice we are called to make. God is a great reward for whatever sacrifice we are called to make. You will notice that God strongly wills to comfort Abram. He's going into every nick and crevice about his fears. A shield will deal with one area of fear, but maybe there's another area of fear, and in that area the Lord is covering it with this. I'm your great reward. I'm your great reward, Abram. And so he's adding reason after reason, and he's dealing with this matter very, very graciously. So he promises to be a shield. That only deals with half of Abram's fear. There's another half of fear in it. What is that? Well, perhaps it's a fear of loss. This is a word that deals with every conceivable fear Abram could have. And perhaps he's afraid of loss. And the Lord says, I'm your reward. I'm your reward. If we think about Abram's past, his recent past and his present, and the circumstances around that, maybe we could try to fit in what the Lord is getting across here, how he's trying to encourage him. What could we say about that? Well, he's been on a mission of mercy. I mean, he didn't have to go after Lot on the family circle. They had left. I mean, they left Abram at the second best. They had forgotten all about Abram. But whenever he heard he was taken captive, Abram goes on a mission of mercy. At great cost to himself, at great risk, he takes 350 plus servants with him and goes after them. And he covers the ground. He recaptures Lot and the family. So he's put himself through great trouble, great toil, and great danger for someone who really was very unworthy, Lot. We know all about Lot. But he did it. He put his neck on the limb for Lot. And it probably was a thankless task. And he probably didn't get much by way of gratitude for it. Now, I know that the king of Sodom offered him all the goods, but there's a special way about the Hebrew that it wasn't really that generous. It was just a kingly command. There was a bad attitude in the king of Sodom. And Abram said, no, I'll not take a thing that you give me unless you say you've made me rich. So he wouldn't take anything from the king of Sodom, as we'll see. But he still went on this mission of mercy and got no rewards for it. Probably hardly any even thanks, and maybe even Lot himself didn't show much appreciation, which seems to be the case when we read the later history. So here was a man who at great risk to himself ventured all, and got nothing for it. And the Lord said, Abram, I'm your reward. You have me. What do you need? Don't be sitting downhearted because your service hasn't been recognized. I recognize it. And you know, the Lord Jesus does recognize our service. Our service isn't done to men, please. It shouldn't be. It's for the Lord. And one day the Lord will come and he'll say, I'm your great reward. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, there's not a cup of water you put out and sacrifice for the cause of Christ, but he'd come along to you and say, well done. It's getting the Lord's well done. It's getting the Lord's reward. And what a better reward than the Lord himself. I'm your reward. Please imagine being rewarded with the Lord himself. Oh, that will just cover everything. Everything we've laid out for Christ. Everything we've suffered for Christ. Everything we've endured for Christ. What a blessed thing. When the Lord comes and just says, I'm your reward, I'm your reward. And then he met this man, Melchizedek. And he gave tithes of all. He gave sacrifices, he gives sacrificially. And giving sacrificially brings the Lord's blessing. The Lord notices it. I'm your great reward. There's nothing that you've put out, Abram, but you'll get the return of me for it. I'm your great reward. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And as I said, he refused the goods of the king of Sodom. Verse 21 of chapter 14. Abram, king of Sodom, said unto Abram, give me the persons, the souls literally, and take the goods. Take the goods to thyself.
And Abram lifted up his hand to God. He says, I've swore to the Most High, I won't take a thread from you.
I told him what he thought of the king of Sodom. I won't take a thread from you, lest you say I've made Abram rich. So he refused to resort to wrongdoing to increase his revenue. It wasn't right to take this to increase his revenue. So he didn't resort to wrongdoing to increase his revenue. And the Lord says, I'm your reward for that. And if I do what was right and honest and just and proper,
and maybe even suffer loss for it, the Lord will make it up to us. God is the strength of my heart, the psalmist said, and my portion forever. Child of God, you have Christ. What more do you want? What more do you need? We shouldn't really need all the bits and pieces for some contentment in this life. If I just have the Lord, we should be content. I'm your reward. But as I said, this chapter reveals a big thing in Abram's mind, and it is that he's childless. He says there in verse 2, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? To me you've given no seed. And lo, this servant born in my house, he's mine heir. It's all going to go to him. So he has this on his mind. And it's a perfectly natural desire because God has promised them. And if he didn't have a promise, it would have passed after being so old. But he had a promise about it. A promise. And he holds God to it. And he wants it. He wants it. And God will give him a desire. It's not even going to come yet. He's still going to have to wait a long time. It's not even going to come yet. And the Lord doesn't say, I'll give you a child. I'll give you a child now. No. The Lord says, look, Abram, I'm your great hope. And that only child. You have me. You have me. And that's what the Lord is saying to him here. So the lesson to Abram is, he has the most important portion of all. No matter about what he has, doesn't have, or what he hasn't got. No matter about all of that, he has the Lord. And therefore he should be resting in perfect peace. And just trusting him. And just waiting for the fulfillment of his promises, whatever they are. You should be just resting in me, Abram. You have me. If the child of God, if we as Christians knew what we have in Christ, if we saw the glory that we have ahead of us to enjoy, if the veil was removed and we could see all the future glory, what was ours? You know something? I don't think we'd have one fear. Not one fear. But you see, we don't see it. I don't have that sight. I've only faith. That's all. And faith is weak. And faith is trembling. And faith so often is contaminated with doubts and sin. And it's because of that weak faith we have fears. But as we grow in faith, as we become strong in faith, in the promises of God, in accordance as our faith grows, our fears diminish. The best remedy for fear then is just to get your mind on the Lord. And just to hear him speak to your soul and say, don't be afraid. Look, I'm your shield. I'm your reward. He doesn't bring him a whole pile of other reasons and truths and things. He says, it's me, Abram. It's me. Keep your mind on me. Keep your mind on me, the Lord says. You know how the Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee. And that's what God wants. And that's why he comes to us and says, look, don't, you shouldn't be afraid. Me, I am your shield. Me, I am your great reward. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on the Lord.